Welcome to Action Phase. I'm your host, Tegan Keating. So, it's been a while, but it's good to be back. I've actually had quite an eventful couple months that are surprisingly all public health related. So I graduated from Drexel back in June, and it's really nice to not be a student anymore, but I really miss being surrounded by a whole group of people who I know care a lot about public health. I always knew while I was there, I made the joke a couple times that, like, there's no time in my life that I will ever be surrounded by as many liberal, social justice-minded people as I was when I was getting my MPH. And that is something that I don't think will be recreated in my life ever again. It was a really unique group of people who all were kind of unified by the fact that we saw that one of the greatest injustices in the world is that not everybody is, most people are not as healthy as they should be, and that it's a worthwhile investment of our student loan money, our time, and our entire lives to try to rectify that wrong. It is, in a lot of ways, a very idealistic experience. I'm a fairly practical-minded person, so I tried to make sure that I was learning about the practical aspects as well, but there was definitely a sense of being, knowing that we were among a group of people who really deeply felt that changing the world was important, which, I mean, we all have heard that phrase as a really good way to make fun of young people, but it was true in the MPH program that was what most of us wanted to do. And I think that now a lot of us are getting a first real taste of reality, one, about the job market and how terrible it is, especially if you want to work in any kind of socially minded capacity. And two, I think that a lot of us have found ourselves working for insurance companies or corporations or pharmaceutical companies that maybe are not the places that we thought we'd find ourselves. And I'm really interested and excited to see how my colleagues' careers play out. I think that 2014 is a really interesting and difficult time to have graduated with an MPH. And I know that a lot of my classmates haven't found jobs yet, and that is absurd because, as we all, and I include all of you who are listening, believe that this is one of the most important things that we need to address. And there just aren't enough jobs for the people who want to do that kind of work, which is just appalling. So, but anyhow, I'm fortunate to have received a fellowship at the National Cancer Institute for Health Communications. So I'm doing what's called the Health Communications Internship Program. And I've found that internship and fellowship are interchangeable at NCI, the National Cancer Institute. They're kind of used to mean the same thing. So I'm technically still in my education. I am a trainee as opposed to an employee or an unpaid intern. You know, it's kind of this weird weird between space where I am there, one, to help the program that I work for, to help them with their communications, but also to make sure that I'm developing the skills that I think are going to be important for me to have in the future. So I work for the Cancer Genome Atlas, which is a project that is, well, has already mapped the genome of a bunch of different cancers. I want to say 33. And makes that data available for anybody to access for free in hopes that there will be good science that comes out of it that can help us with either treatment or prevention of, name a cancer. We probably covered it. Like, they've done so much work to make huge amounts of genomic data available. And so I don't actually know very much about genomics, so this has been a really interesting learning experience for me. And I feel like I at least have like a basic understanding at this point of cancer genomics enough that I can start to wade through some of the published papers that they've put out. But I'm definitely still learning. So it's kind of cool working at NIH. Like, I work on the NIH campus, which houses lots of different institutes, including the National Cancer Institute. But when I first got there, one of my fellow interns and I were walking down a hall together, and I want to say that we walked past, maybe it was an NCI sign, and it was like a really like ornate, beautiful NCI sign. And we both looked at it, and we looked at each other, and I was just like, it's like seeing a celebrity. And like, that's such like a dorky thing to say, I know, but like, it is really cool to know that I'm working amongst and with and for people who are doing some of the most important health research that's being done. And that, like, so many of the resources that I used when I was in school were put out by NCI, and now I work there. It's really cool and super dorky, and I know that. And I'm okay with it, and I own it. So yeah, that's kind of been what I've been up to. So now I work in Bethesda during the week, and I come back to Philly on the weekends. And so I've been getting to know the suburbs, and I've definitely been getting to know I-95 very intimately well. So if you have any questions about where all the bad traffic is, I can tell you, and the bad traffic is between DC and Philly, just the whole thing. It's like a parking lot. So yeah, it's been fun, and I really am excited to be back in the working world and super grateful for my educational experience. So it's kind of what I've been up to. Yeah, so I hope that your summer has been going as well as mine. So there's been lots of public health related stories that have come out since, you know, June, July. And I had to take a break from the news for a while because things were just getting so overwhelming. But this past week, I decided to dip my toe back into the news. And what did I find but Ferguson, Missouri? So it's really been on my mind this week. And I think that, I mean, if you want to know all the details about what's going on there, you'd be much better served looking into that on your own. I wouldn't say that I'm any kind of expert on what's going on. But the short story is that there was a young African-American man who was shot and killed by a police officer. And there's been a week of protests in Ferguson, Missouri, that have been met with a hugely disproportionate police response. That is making the situation worse. The people of Ferguson as a whole want to peacefully protest the fact that this young man was murdered. And the police have shown up with tear gas, M16 rifles, tanks, things that maybe really are, they're definitely not appropriate for what's going on there. And the photographs that are coming out are incredibly difficult to, it's really difficult to believe that it's actually happening here, to citizens that are exercising their First Amendment rights. And it's the whole thing is really awful. So, you know, there's some looting, there's some violence. Like, it's not like the protesters are like being, you know, totally perfect. But there's a lot of anger, and there's police officers who are tear gassing people. So that's kind of hard to, it's justifiable anger, I think. You know, not having been there, not being part of any group that's associated with this incident, I, as an outsider and based on the news that I have read, it seems like there's a serious abuse of power going on by the police. So, you know, if you want more information and details and things like that, you can go online, find yourself a reputable source, and educate yourself. But so there's been all of this reporting and all of these horrible images and all of this, lots and lots of reporting on the issue. So I kind of got to thinking, like, okay, so eventually this will come to an end, right? Like, this will end. Somebody's gonna do something. It will be resolved. But then what happens? Now you have an entire town that's part of St. Louis. So it's like, my understanding is that Ferguson is much like one of the town, like one of the areas of Philly. So if you're in Philly, you know that there's lots of different neighborhoods. So in my mind, this is happening in an area that's very similar to like West Philadelphia. You know, it's still part of Philly, but it's kind of like geographically far from the center and has a somewhat a distinct personality. That's kind of how I understand Ferguson in relationship to the rest of St. Louis. So you have this now, this whole community of people that have undergone a terrible trauma that has been put upon them by the law enforcement, by the people who are supposed to be protecting them. Instead, the law enforcement has really caused a huge amount of unrest and distrust among the people. And I mean, the trauma that is happening there is going to be hugely detrimental to the community. Every single person in Ferguson has been touched by this issue, by this problem. And so I wanted to know what St. Louis was going to do about it. So I spent a lot of time looking into what kinds of mental health resources the city of St. Louis has, or that Ferguson itself has. And surprise, surprise, not a ton. There's some, but it's not anything that's certainly not on the scale that can deal with something like this. And it's a lot of kind of your run-of-the-mill, like substance abuse, significant mental illness, rehab services, things like that. Not a ton of focus on trauma. So I have contacted the Department of Health and asked them what their plan is. So I hope to be able to follow up with you about that next week, when I finally hear back from them, and see, you know, see if they're planning to bring in any kind of assistance for the people who have been dealing with this and who've seen huge amounts of violence and been incredibly threatened in their own homes, and see what the city and the state are planning to do about it, because they better do something. So yeah, I hope to be able to give you a report back on that. Likewise, I have been really intrigued by what people are doing around the country to try to help. This is definitely the kind of situation that people who are following what's going on feel strongly that they want to help, but there's really not a lot that can be done. So kind of because it's ongoing. It's been going on for a week. It doesn't seem like these protests are going to stop anytime soon. So I was intrigued by what people were doing. And what I found was very little. There's not a lot that I could find via online research about people doing any kind of fundraising or charity, or I think in part because it's a really difficult situation. It's not like a natural disaster where people need clothing or people need medical supplies. It's kind of like it's more complicated than that. What people need is answers. They need the police to get out of their neighborhood a little bit, maybe put down the assault rifles, not get tear gassed, let reporters report on what's going on. They need that kind of stuff, not necessarily physical goods. But I did actually find this one fundraiser that was put together by a teacher. So because of all of the violence and everything that's going on, the schools have been canceled. So the kids were supposed to go back last Monday. First week of school was canceled. Then they were supposed to go back on August 18th, but now school's been canceled for next week as well. So this teacher saw that there were going to be lots and lots of kids who depended on school for breakfast and lunch, and so by not going to school, they weren't going to have any food. So she got on, her name is Juliana. I believe she has a last name somewhere on here. Oh boy. This is bad. Bad news. Sorry. Oh, her name is Juliana Mendelson. And she's a teacher in Ferguson. And she started a Fundly.com fundraiser. And so far, they have raised $52,561 since they started a few days ago. Almost 2,000 people have donated, and this money is all going to the Greater St. Louis Area Food Bank to help feed kids in Ferguson. And this is it. This is the only thing that's being done. So the fact that she was able to raise so much money in such a short amount of time shows me that there are lots of people who want to be doing something, but there's not a ton that can be done, and or that is being done. Maybe there is a lot that could be done, but nobody's doing anything. And frankly, I don't have any ideas. I don't know what the people of Ferguson need, and I don't know what I can do to help this situation. I just know that it's wrong, and I know that it's not what I want to see in Missouri or any state in the United States, or frankly anywhere. So I'm really grateful to Juliana Mendelson for putting this together. And I'm going to watch very carefully in the next week or so to see what other types of fundraisers or donation drives, or just like, who could people write checks to? Like, that's what I would like to know. Like, where can I send a check that will get to people in Ferguson, that will help them with whatever? Is it like a legal thing? Should I be donating to the ACLU? I don't know. Oh, yeah. Speaking of the ACLU, they seem to be the only other group that's, like, actively pursuing any kind of justice, like, social justice type stuff for Ferguson. But they are suing because they wanted the report of Michael Brown's shooting. Sorry, that's the young man who was killed. And they wanted, they're suing because the police were not allowing the media to report. But again, that's kind of not exactly, I mean, all that's super important, of course, but it's not really what I'm thinking of when I think of where I want to donate money, and I wanted to, like, go to people to, I don't know, get them a new police force that's less horrible, something like that. I don't know. So those are kind of the things that have been on my mind about Ferguson. Mainly it's been the trauma stuff. It's been wondering what's going to happen in Ferguson after this. How will this horrible turn of events affect the adults, affect the kids, especially the little kids? Like, could you imagine being 5 years old and watching people get tear gassed on your street? I cannot imagine that. And I hope that this is not something that we forget quickly about. I know that we have this, you know, we have this 24-hour news cycle that just keeps pumping us full of these stories about terrible things happening, and we move so quickly from one to another to another to another. You know, it was Ukraine, it was the Malaysia flight, it was Gaza, now it's Ferguson. Like, we've had so much traumatic news recently. But this is, I mean, to be totally American-centric, this is here. This is our home, if you live in America. This is happening in not very far from where you live. And it could happen where you live. And this is not some war over a strip of land in the Middle East. This is a war that is happening by the police against the people of Ferguson, Missouri, and we need to remember that this is happening. We need to remember that it happened when it's over, and we definitely need some significant changes. When I can figure out what those are, I'll let you know. But if you have any ideas, you know, please comment on the episode, or shoot me an email, whatever. Like, let's have a conversation about this. So one more thing before we go. Next week, I am recording my first ever live show. So as part of the Philadelphia Podcast Festival, I am going to be interviewing Mike and Scott from WHYY. She's the behavioral health reporter, and I am super excited about it. I love her reporting, and I always look forward to her segments on WHYY, so I'm really excited to be interviewing her. The show is on August 23rd, Saturday, at 4 p.m., and it's at Tattooed Moms on South Street in Philadelphia. It's free, totally free, and, you know, come in, grab some food, grab a drink. It's upstairs in the back room. It's a super cool venue, and it's gonna be lots of fun, and I hope that you're there, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to doing the show in front of people, because I don't usually do that, so it'll be fun. It'll be an experience. So, and there's lots of other podcasts. We have 19 podcasts total participating in the festival. So if you want to learn more specifically about the festival as a whole, you can go to phillypodfest.com, or you can find us on Twitter at phillypodcast, or sorry, at phillypodfest. My fiance Nathan and I are the co-organizers, co-founders of the festival. So it's kind of our little brainchild together. It's lots of fun. If you wanna like come see some cool comedy podcasts, we have a whole bunch of those. We've got like, it's actually a really wide variety of types of podcasts. So if you are not singularly interested in public health, then this podcast festival will be totally interesting to you. So I really encourage you to come out. The festival is being sponsored by Uber, which is super exciting. We have a promotion code, PhillyPodFest, that if you're a new Uber user and you sign up using the promotional code, then you get $20 off your first ride, which means if you have a ride that's less than $20, you can get it for free, which is great. And I actually looked into different neighborhoods in Philly to see if you could get to or from Tattooed Moms for less than $20, and most places in Philly you can. So if you're coming from Philly and you don't feel like walking or taking the subway, you can try Uber for free on us. Just go to Uber, sign up, use a promotional code, PhillyPodFest, that's Philly, PODFEST, and get a free ride, or a free ride home. Like, if you have a couple extra drinks at Tattooed Moms and you need a safe way to get home, Uber will take care of it for you. So yeah, again, my live show is going to be August 23rd at 4 p.m. at Tattooed Moms. It's totally free. I'd love to see you there. Yeah, let me know if you're coming, because that'd be super fun. So this has been great. I'm happy to be back podcasting again and talking to you about public health stuff. So I'll be back with you next week, possibly with the live show, possibly with a different show. I don't know. We'll see. So yeah, thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you soon. Thanks so much for listening to Action Phase. You can find me, Tegan, on Twitter at Tegan Keating. That's TEAGANKEATING. And on my site, TeganK.com. You can find Action Phase on Twitter at Action Phase Pod and on ActionPhasePodcast.com. You can feel free to email me at ActionPhasePodcast@gmail.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon.